Todd said, "Kurt, I think you're going to preach for the Italian Christmas." And I thought to myself, not a lot of the Bible happens in Italy. I mean, some stuff happens in Rome, but it's kind of, I didn't really know where to go. And I was quite at a loss, basically. I was talking to a coworker, and I said, "I should preach a Christmas sermon. What should I preach on for Italian Christmas? The only thing I know about Italy is Mario Brothers and spaghetti." And they gave me this verse from Hebrews chapter 10, and they were wise to do so. As I studied it, I began to see just how it comes to bear on the Advent season. I'm a father of two boys. I have a six-year-old and a seven-month-old. And I think, at least in my experience of fatherhood, has been that I waffle between two things. Sometimes I'm the dad who says, "This is how it's going to be, and I don't care whether you like it or not. This is what we're doing. And you're going to do this, or you're not going to receive approval or love or those kind of things." I know that's not good, but I'm just telling you the truth. And then on the other hand, I know that I need to love my sons for who they are, not for who I want them to be. And also because I'm a youth minister, so I've got these two young boys, very young boys in my mind, and then we have all these boys in the youth group, and all these boys and girls in the youth group, and I think about them quite frequently. And when I think about children, I think about my own children, I think about these children behind me and all the children that we have, that God's blessed us with in this church. There are two words that come to mind. There are two words that come up a lot. The two words are potential and purpose. And I'd like to talk about potential and purpose for a second, and then I want to see how that relates to this passage in Hebrews chapter 10. First, potential. This is what every young person has. They have potential. They've got a lot of potential. If you ask one of them to say what it means that they have potential, they might just say, "Well, I'm young and I haven't messed up yet." Not like you, you're old, you know, your die has been cast. Whereas me, who knows? We because of potential is both an encouraging thing and it is a absolutely frightening thing. First of all, there's the gospel of potential, what I call the Space Jam gospel. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Space Jam. Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny take on some other cartoon players in a basketball game. But there's a song that goes along with it called "I Believe I Can Fly." And one of the lines of "I Believe I Can Fly," which a lot of people have heard, but you probably should hear, it's a pretty good song, is, "If I can see it, I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it." You can do anything. This is what these guys and a lot of youth hear all the time. It's like, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. And that's what we mean by potential. Your whole life is in front of you. Now, that is a lie, first of all. That is not totally true. Some things are unattainable, regardless of hard work. Genetics plays a big role in that. I keep waiting every April to get drafted to the NFL, but they never call. We'll just see if this April is the one. I don't think there's any amount of work I could have done to get there, just to be honest. But that's, when we talk to our youth, we talk about potential, and it has some frightening and some hopeful aspects to it. When we think about potential, lots of times it's in a positive way. We say, well, what if my child grows up to be an all-star athlete? Or what if they grow up to be the class clown? Or what if they grow up to be a valedictorian? Or maybe they'll play an instrument, or maybe they'll be the lead in the school play. Or, you know, what if they grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a soldier? Everything is open. And that's the fun thing about being a parent, I guess, is seeing like what your child is going to, how your child is going to grow and develop and become their own person. But there's also kind of the scary side of potential, too. And this is the side we don't really talk about. What if my child is a dropout? Or what if they get diagnosed with cancer? Or what if they become an addict or a deadbeat dad or a teen mom or any other thing? What if they're an unbeliever? What if they reject the faith that I've staked my life on? I mean, these are all the things that we think about when we think about potential, but the good and the bad. The other thing that I find myself thinking about when I think about young people is purpose. And this is a question that as they get older and older, they begin to ask more and more, especially about their senior year in high school, maybe their junior year in high school. They start to say things like, start to ask questions like, well, what do I want to do with my life? And for some of them, they've spent a lot of time thinking about that, and they've got a pretty clear plan. And for others of them, it's just, well, I don't want to be my dad, or I do want to be my dad, or I don't want to be my mom, or I do want to be my mom. But they're looking for a purpose. What kind of gifts or abilities do I have that I can use? What am I going to major in college? Is it God's will for me to be married? Who am I going to marry? Am I going to have children? And we're frightened by purpose lots of times because it eliminates our potential. Now, once we have a purpose, the options are no longer wide open to us. Well, the reason I bring those things up, and that's a pretty lengthy introduction, but this is a homily, not a sermon, so trust me, it's not going to take too long. The reason I bring those two things up is because I want to talk about Christ. Oh, I meant to say that, like, oftentimes when we think about our purpose, it takes us a long time to get there. For me personally, now, you're not going to believe this, but when I went to college, my first major was pre-dentistry. Now, I don't want to insult any dentist in this room. Obviously, you could cut it and I couldn't. Turns out you need to be able to pass biology to be a dentist. But my motivation for being a dentist was not really great. My motivation for being a dentist was I knew some dentists, and it seemed like they worked pretty good hours, and they lived pretty nice, too. And I was like, I want to work good hours and live pretty nice. And I know I don't know the half of it, and all the dentists I know right now I'm on their list, and I apologize for that. But I'm just telling you where I was. And then I had to choose a major, and I decided to go to business school because I was like, I don't know what I want to do, but I'm sure there'll be business involved, so might as well get that. I didn't know my purpose. And then when I kind of narrowed down the fact that I felt like God was calling me to the ministry, it just canceled out all of my potential. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And again, the reason I think that's important for us to think about with this passage is because I want to suggest to you something that's going to sound bad at first, but just bear with me. One, Jesus Christ is the only child who was born without potential. He had no potential. Jesus had no potential. And also this, Jesus Christ is the only child with no purpose of his own. With no purpose of his own. He's a potentialless and purposeless child. What a guy. I can't believe that pretty much the entire history of the world revolves around him. What do I mean by that? Well, first, what does this verse tell us? It gives us insight into what Christ was thinking as he came into the world as an infant, as crazy as that is, what we celebrate right now at Christmas. When Christ was coming into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired." This is a quote from Psalm 40, by the way. "But a body you have prepared for me." A little baby body. "In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure, but behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written of me in the scroll of the book." Jesus was a child, two-point sermon here, with no potential and without his own purpose. He had no potential. Now, according to the neighbors in Nazareth, I'm sure that he had a lot of potential. I'm sure many of his neighbors were like, did you hear about Mary and Joseph's boy? Well, he could have been a carpenter. His dad set him up. He showed a lot of promise. He could have been the high priest if he'd have worked hard. But he's got his own little following. He's out in the desert. He's just really gone off the deep end. We just don't really discuss him. I'm sure that's how it was. But really, Jesus had no potential because his destination was set before he arrived. There weren't a myriad of options for him. All of his options were finished. He elected to shelve all of that. And instead, from the very get-go, he was set for the cross. That's where he was headed. He had no potential. There was only one place where he was going to go. He lived his entire life. And this is what I really can't get over. Is that Jesus Christ, there's a lot of things about the incarnation that blow you away, but one of the things that really blows me away, having young boys now and looking at them and thinking about our Lord and Savior being that age, is that his whole life, he knew exactly when and how he was going to die. And just that in and of itself ought to tell us how much he loves us. Because his whole life, 30 or so years, he knew exactly when and how he was going to die. He also knew that his father was going to turn his back on him. He knew it the whole time. So he had no potential. But he also he didn't have any purpose of his own. And what I mean by that is obviously he had a purpose. He talks about his purpose quite frequently. But what I mean is that he was given a purpose and there were no backup plans. I was talking to a student recently, and he's getting ready to go to college, and he said, well, I said, what are you going to major in? He said, I don't know. He goes, I know that I could come back and work for my dad, and I might want to do that, but I'm just going to explore everything, and if that's what I end up doing, then that's what I end up doing, but I'm not really sure. So kind of a backup plan, if you will. Come back. Jesus had no backup plan. His purpose was set. He says himself that his purpose is to do God's will. In Luke 4:43, he says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. In John 5:30, he says, I can do nothing on my own. What a thing for Jesus Christ to say. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Then he's talking about the Son of Man being lifted up in John chapter 12, and he says, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. And then probably most famously in Gethsemane, as he sweat drops of blood and he fell on his face, in Matthew 26:39, he says, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. What I want you to see this evening is, and what Hebrews 10 verses 5 through 7 really highlights is the fact is that Jesus Christ was born to die. He was born to die. He had no potential because he knew where he was going. And he had a purpose that he didn't choose himself. He even says in Garden of Gethsemane, well, if any other way, let's not do this, but a purpose that was given to him by his heavenly Father. He had no potential and no purpose. And yet, he's the Son of God, the most important person that's ever lived. So what? So what? Okay, let's conclude here. So what? How does that affect you tomorrow, Monday morning? Well, Jesus is a child without potential. He's a child that doesn't have a purpose of his own. But why does that matter? How should that encourage you? You find out just two chapters later in Hebrews. I'm going to read to you Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And this is where I want you to listen very closely. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was born to die, born to be rejected by the Father who he had loved from eternity to eternity. He's born to that. Why? For you. You are the joy that was set before him. You, who can't even get to the Christmas service on time, or whose kids never behave, or you, who feel like you don't belong, or that you're an outsider, even in your own family. For you, who you're the annoying family member, the one that no one really looks forward to seeing on Thanksgiving, or always gets in an argument. For you, he saw all the things I just talked about. 30 years of knowing that he was going to die. 30 years leading up to him being rejected by his Heavenly Father. For you, he did that. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, that you would take joy in sinners such as us. Well, that is the miracle of Christmas, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son and doing what we could never do on our own. Lord, because of what you have done for us, you deserve all glory, laud, and honor. We glorify your name, we praise your name, and we pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, Satis adexta patris miserere. Miserere, miserere nobis, qui sedes ad exterum patris, miserere nobis. Miserere nobis, qui sedes ad extera patris, miserere. Miserere, miserere nobis, miserere, miserere, miserere nobis.
Before I pronounce a benediction, I want to remind you that there is a reception in Westminster Hall. That is in the Westminster Room, excuse me. It's through that door. You just follow the crowd. You'll probably end up there. There's going to be Italian coffee and Italian desserts. I have no idea what that means. It just sounds exciting. So be sure to join us there. If you would stand and receive God's benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.